When I lost my sense. Then I was a man. I only went up the hill as I had time to kill. But kill I did all that was me and mine. With me and mine gone, lost all my will and skill. Here I am, an empty vessel, enslaved to the divine will and infinite skill. In the city of Mysore, there is a tradition. If you have something to do, you go up Chamundi Hill. If you have nothing to do, you go up Chamundi Hill. If you fall in love, you go up Chamundi Hill. If you fall out of love, you have to go up Chamundi Hill. One afternoon, I had nothing to do, and I had recently fallen out of love, so I went up Chamundi Hill. I parked my motorcycle and sat on an outcrop of rock about two-thirds of the way uphill. This was my contemplation rock. It had been for some time now. A purpleberry tree and a stunted banyan had put down tenacious roots into a deep fissure in the rock surface. A panoramic view of the city unfolded before me. Until that moment, in my experience, my body and mind was me, and the world was out there. But suddenly, I did not know what was me and what was not me. My eyes were still open, but the air that I was breathing, the rock on which I was sitting, the very atmosphere around me, everything had become me. I was everything that was. I was conscious, but I had lost my senses. The discriminatory nature of the senses simply did not exist anymore. The more I say, the crazier it will sound, because what was happening was indescribable. What was me was literally everywhere. Everything was exploding beyond defined boundaries. Everything was exploding into everything else. It was a dimensionless unity of absolute perfection. My life is just that moment, gracefully enduring. When I returned to my normal senses, it felt as if just 10 minutes had elapsed. But a glance at my watch told me that it was 7:30 in the evening. 4.5 hours had passed. My eyes were open. The sun had set. It was dark. I was fully aware, but what I had considered to be myself until that moment had completely disappeared. I have never been the teary kind, and yet here I was, at the age of 25, on a rock upon Chamundi Hill, so ecstatically crazy that the tears were flowing and my entire shirt was wet. Being peaceful and happy had never been an issue for me. I had lived my life the way I wanted. I had grown up in the 60s, the era of Beatles and blue jeans, read my share of European philosophy and literature, Dostoevsky, Camus, Kafka, and the like. But here I was, exploding into a completely different dimension of existence, of which I knew nothing, drenched in a completely new feeling, an exuberance, a blissfulness that I had never known or imagined possible. When I applied my skeptical mind to this, the only thing my mind could tell me was that maybe I was going off my rocker. Still, it was so beautiful that I knew that I didn't want to lose it. I have never quite been able to describe what happened that afternoon. Perhaps the best way to put it is that I went up and did not come down. I never have. I was born in Mysore, a pretty princely town in southern India, an erstwhile capital known for its palaces and gardens. My father was a physician, my mother a homemaker. I was the youngest of four siblings. School bored me. I found sitting through class impossible because I could see that the teachers were talking about something that did not mean anything to their lives. Every day, as a four-year-old, I instructed my housekeeper, who accompanied me to school in the morning, to drop me off at the gates and not enter the building. As soon as she left, I would dart to the nearby canyon, which exploded with an incredible variety of life. I started accumulating a vast personal zoo of insects, tadpoles, and snakes in bottles, obtained from my father's medicine cabinet. After a few months, when my parents discovered that I hadn't been attending school, however, they seemed singularly unimpressed by my biological explorations. My expeditions to the canyon were dismissed as messing about in a rainwater drain. Thwarted as I often was by what I regarded as a dull, unimaginative adult world, I simply turned my attention elsewhere and found something else to do. In later years, I preferred to spend my days roaming the forest, catching snakes, fishing, trekking, and climbing trees. I would often climb to the topmost branch of a big tree with my lunchbox and water bottle. The swaying motion of the branches would transport me to a trance-like state, where I was asleep but wide awake at the same time. I would lose all sense of time on this tree. I would be perched there from 9 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 in the evening when the bell rang and the school was done. Much later, I realized, unknowingly, I was becoming meditative at this stage of my life. Later, when I first instructed people into meditations, it was always swaying meditations. Of course, I hadn't even heard of the word meditation at this point. I simply liked the way trees swayed me into a state beyond sleep and wakefulness. I found the classroom dull, but I was interested in everything else. The way the world is made, the physical terrain of the land, the way people live. I used to take my bicycle along the mud roads in the countryside, riding a minimum of 35 kilometers a day. By the time I came home, I would be caked with layers of mud and dust. I particularly enjoyed making mental maps of the terrain I traveled. I could just close my eyes when I was alone and redraw the entire landscape that I had seen that afternoon. Every single rock, every outcrop, every single tree. I was fascinated by the different seasons, the way the land changes when it is plowed, when the crops start germinating. That is what drew me to the work of Thomas Hardy. His descriptions of the English landscape, which go on for pages on end. I was doing the same thing in my head with the world around me. Even today, it is like a video in my head. If I want, I can replay the whole thing. Those years and years of all that I observed with vivid clarity. I was a die-hard skeptic. Even at the age of 5, when my family went to the temple, I had questions. Lots of them. Who is God? Where is He? Up there? Where is up? A couple of years later, I had even more questions. In school, they said the planet was round, but if the planet was round, how did one know which way was up? No one ever managed to answer these questions, so I never entered the temple. This meant they were compelled to leave me in the custody of the footwear attendant outside. The attendant held me by the arm in a vice-like grip, pulling and tugging me around with him as he did his business. He knew that if he looked the other way, I'd be gone. Later in my life, I couldn't help noticing that people coming out of restaurants always had more joyful faces than those coming out of temples, that intrigued me. And yet, while I was skeptic, I never identified with that label either. I had lots of questions about everything, but never felt the need to draw any conclusions. I realized very early that I knew nothing about anything. That meant I ended up paying enormous attention to everything around me. If someone gave me a glass of water, I stared at it endlessly. If I picked up a leaf, I stared at it endlessly too. I stared at the darkness all night. If I looked at a pebble, the image would rotate interminably in my mind, so I would know its every grain, its every angle. I also saw that language was no more than a conspiracy devised by human beings. If someone spoke, I realized they were only making sounds. I was making up the meanings. So I stopped making up meanings, and the sounds became very amusing. I could see patterns spewing out of their mouths. If I kept staring, the person would just disintegrate and turn into a blob of energy. Then all that was left was patterns. In this state of absolute borderless ignorance, just about anything could hold my attention. My dear father, being a physician, began to think I needed psychiatric evaluation. In his words, this boy is staring unblinkingly at something all the time. He's lost it. It has always seemed to me odd that the world does not realize the immensity of a state of I do not know. Those who destroy that state with beliefs and assumptions completely miss an enormous possibility, the possibility of knowing. They forget that I do not know is the doorway, the only doorway to seeking and knowing. My mother instructed me to pay attention to my teachers, and I did. I paid them the kind of attention they would never have received anywhere else. I had no idea what they were saying, but on those occasions when I attended class, I stared at them unwavering and intense. For some reason, they did not find this trait particularly endearing. One particular teacher did everything possible to elicit a response from me, but when I remained silent and taciturn, he seized me by the shoulder and shook me violently. "Either you are the divine or the devil," he declared. He added, "and I think you are the latter." I was not particularly insulted. Until that moment, I had approached everything around me, from a grain of sand to the universe, with a sense of wonder. But there had always been one certainty in this complex web of questions, and that was me. But my teacher's outburst triggered another line of inquiry. Who was I? Human, divine, devil, what? I tried to stare at myself to find out. It did not work, so I closed my eyes and tried to find out. Minutes turned into hours, and I continued to sit, eyes closed. When my eyes were open, everything intrigued me. An ant, a leaf, clouds, flowers, darkness, just about anything. But to my amazement, I found that with my eyes closed, there was even more that grabbed my attention. The way the body pulses, the way different organs function, the various channels along which one's inner energy moves, the manner in which the anatomy is aligned, the fact that boundaries are limited to the external world. This exercise opened up the entire mechanics of being human before me. Instead of leading me to a simplistic answer that I was this or that, it gradually brought me to a realization that if I were willing, I could be everything. It wasn't about arriving at any conclusions. Even the certainty of me collapsed as a deeper sense of what it is to be a human being started opening up. From knowing myself as an autonomous person, this exercise melted me down. I became a nebulous being.